In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. A familiar Advent season passage from the prophet Isaiah, read again this morning just a moment ago in our midst. But a passage not only for the season, but a passage appropriate for that happy juxtaposition of Advent and our annual day of acknowledging significant ordination anniversaries of faculty and staff, as well as the installation of a new member of the faculty, Bruce Hartung. If my usually abysmal mathematical skills have served me well on this occasion, on the back of your worship folder, the year's total 260 years of ministry in which you, brothers, have been engaged. And in describing that cumulative 260 years of ministry, I can think of no more accurate and appropriate words than these. Comfort, comfort my people. I wonder whether we are all well aware of the important role that darkness plays in the story of the birth of Jesus. A dark stable in the dead of night is the traditional setting. The darkened expanse overarching the shepherds is shattered by the glory of angels. A midnight sky sets off the star which leads the wise men to the place. And it is even darker than usual here this morning. Christmas is essentially a night festival. People have an instinct for this. They crowd the churches in the midnight darkness where candles gleam in a shadowy nave. To be sure, a lot of that is sheer sentiment. Candles flicker with a certain attractiveness, and it's a bit exotic to troop off to church in the middle of the night. But this is more than just sentiment. There is a sense in which the symbolism of darkness is essential for Advent and Christmas. As a matter of fact, one of our difficulties during this week before Christmas is that there are far too many lights around, in store and home windows, in garlands thrown across the streets, on city squares, and even Concordia Seminary contributes to all of those lights. It's a little too gay and festive, though. The reading from Isaiah takes us back years and years before the birth of Jesus to an especially dark hour and to a prophet who heard a voice in that darkness. It constitutes a reminder that God speaks in the midst of our dark hours. And it may very well, paradoxical as though it may sound, help us to prepare for Christmas in a manner no amount of bustling about, shopping for gifts, and mailing out cards can ever do. Israel experienced exile. The glories of Jerusalem faded into darkness. All of that checkered history, the dreams that evaporated on the mount where Saul and Jonathan lay dead, the glory of David tarnished by an unguarded moment when Bathsheba meant more to him than God, the long battle of prophets against recurrent paganism, the thunder of Sennacherib's legions across the borders of Judah, all kinds of episodes that led God's people to think that there's no escape from the darkness. And then Babylonian bondage, eyes peering through the dark, waiting for a voice that had not been heard for a long time. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. And when the taunt of their captors rang out, where is your God now? The real sting of it to the Israelite heart was the horrible suspicion that the taunt was true. And so they sat longing for a voice that God was still alive, that he still cared, that he was faithful to the covenant he had made, or had it all really been a delusion? And it is into that darkness of a people forgotten, a people bewildered, a people disillusioned, that a messenger of God, a prophet, heard a divine voice, soft and clear, comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly. Tell them that their exile is ended, that their iniquity is pardoned. It might have been the darkness of Babylon still, but it was different now, because God was there. His messenger had assured them of that. And so where in these frantic days before the Christmas celebration are we most apt to hear the authentic voice of God? In the breathless rush of shopping, in the crowded and frenetic stores, in the noisy parties and joyful reunions of family? Quite possibly so. But remember, the voice of God is heard most clearly in the dark. Reflect a moment about darkness on the widest possible scale, the darkness of our history, that chaos and confusion in which we are reminded by the pundits of our day no real loving God can possibly be. You pastors talk at Christmas time about the birth of a Savior, but look at this world. The predicament of people rebelling against God in pride and sinfulness, the events of unparalleled global terrorism, to be sure. But also, pastor, therapist, look into the heart and the privacy of people's own lives that you have ministered to, that you continue to minister to, that you will minister to. Lives of shattered dreams, lives of unrealized goals, lives of broken promises, lives of commitments abandoned, lives of angry fists being shaken before the very face of God. In your years of ministries, you have faced people who live in darkness, and you future pastors will have to think about those situations as well, and what you are called to do in the darkness of the lives of people, in the darkness of this world. You are called to relay a voice. Comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly. The only assurance we offer the world as the spokesman of God is that God spoke at another hour in history. By this time, Caesar in Rome bestrode the narrow world like a colossus. And by this time, Israel was a vassal province, less than the dust beneath the chariot wheels of Caesar. And then, unto us a child was born. No lights in the door to welcome him, shut out into the darkness. Indeed, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Only the cry, we have no king but Caesar, only the unanimous vote for Barabbas against Jesus. But see what happened in that darkness. The miracle of God present where it seemed to no one God could possibly be. an instrument of death, transformed into the altar of salvation. Humanity's most egregious act, transformed into the vehicle of omnipotent love. And so we turn to our own contemporary scene this Advent, the darkness of our history. Where's your God now, preacher, sitting up there while the world and my life gets into an even bigger and bigger mess? Our only message can be what we know, the message that so many of you colleagues have shared with people for decades, that although the world is dark, God has not left us. The God who came to Israel through the darkness of exile, the God who was reconciling the world to himself in the thick darkness of Calvary, has not deserted us. And how do we know that? Because it's all there at Bethlehem. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Birth, poverty, political uncertainty, temptation, misunderstanding, betrayal, they are all there. His was the life of humanity. But he took that human nature on and lived through it so that we might be redeemed. What good news. What comfort. What a blessing it is to be the bearer of such news. For 35 years, or 50 years, or 10 years, God, in order to become a saving God, became God with us. He shared our lot, he lived our life, he faced our temptation, he died our death, that he might rescue us from the darkness and call us into his marvelous light. May seem a strange way to talk about the celebration of the coming of the Lord, or for that matter, our ministries in this place, to think about darkness. But it is only in contemplation of darkness that the real voice of God speaks comfort and transforms the Advent hope into the Christmas affirmation. Poverty and obscurity and disappointment and suffering and sin and death still mark the historical reality of our beings and our history. But above them all, God in Jesus Christ, and in all those other things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.